Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. It's great to be with you today. Excited to have my guest, Dr. Daniel Keebler. He received his PhD in molecular and cell biology from the University of California, Berkeley in December of 1999 and earned a Master of Science in Cell and Molecular Biology from the Catholic University of America in 1985. In addition, he has a bachelor's degree in English, also from the Catholic University of America. And for the past 20 years, he's been the professor of biology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, where he has been responsible for teaching courses in evolution, cell biology, and human physiology. He is currently the dean of the School of Natural and Applied Sciences at Franciscan University. His biological research involves studying adult stem cells in bone marrow and adipose tissue for use in orthopedic treatments and investigating of the physiological defects of seizure disorders. His work has been published in journals such as Brain Research, Genetics, and the co-author of a book entitled The Evolution Controversy, A Survey of Competing Theories by Baker Academic, which is a scientific critique of the various theories of evolutionary thought, and is currently working on a book examining the integration of Catholic teaching and evolution. He has also presented and published academic papers regarding evolution and faith at a number of national and international meetings. In addition to his academic work, he has authored a variety of popular articles on science, evolution, politics, and religion that have been published in places such as the National Catholic Register and the online journal Public Discourse. Dr. Keebler, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thanks, William, for having me. It's great to be on with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are things going over there in Ohio?
Right now with COVID and everything, it's actually going better than we had planned. So here at Franciscan, you didn't know what to expect when you brought students back at the beginning of the semester, but it's actually, we're in-person classes and things we're made more than halfway through the semester now and looking like we'll make it through. So yeah, it's actually been semi-normal, given what it could have been and what a lot of other universities have seen. So.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. You've heard various stories before students came back, so I'm glad to hear that.
Exactly.
So you recently started a video campaign called The Purposeful Universe with the Magis Center. What was the genesis of this project? How did it come about?
Yeah, the project came about, so it's working off of the years of work that Father Spitzer has done at the Magis Center, looking at the intersection of science and faith. And one of the things that we have seen about the dialogue between science and faith, there's these certain big issues that really people sort of struggle with. How do we integrate these? So we wanted to make a video sort of series on some really key issues. So like the Big Bang, the human mind-brain question, human evolution be another. And so one of the first ones we did was this one called The Purposeful Universe. The idea is to see, what does modern science say about these topics? Does it show that, science can explain everything and that, there's no room left for God? Or does science suggest that there's purpose in the universe? And is how consistent is what the science says with the sort of a Catholic view or a Christian view of the world? So we picked evolution in as our first one. Yeah.
Okay. And that's a big one because depending on who you talk to, some people think evolution is like this four-letter word out there. So maybe you can clarify like what evolution is and what evolution is not and kind of how your work fits into that.
That's a great question. And the book I'm working on, I have a whole chapter addressing exactly that question, because you're right on. Evolution means a million things to a million different people. And the first thing to keep in mind is when I'm talking about evolution, I'm talking about the scientific theory of evolution. And very, very quickly, when people talk about it, they slip over into philosophical theories. So that evolution shows that there is no purpose in the world. The evolution shows God doesn't exist. So evolution as a scientific theory can't show any of that stuff. That is, the science of evolution is looking at how did the physical world, physical entities, material things possibly evolve? How did species change over time? How did they give rise to other species? What it doesn't address are the ultimate questions why do we live in a purpose in a universe that's ordered? Okay, what's the purpose of man? Does man have an immaterial soul? Evolution, the science of evolution, doesn't address those questions directly. Now, it does have implications for those questions, but the discussion of those bigger questions, puts you off into the branch of philosophy. And as a good philosopher, you should know the science and sort of what your you what the true good science is showing about the way the universe is structured and so forth, so that that can enrich your philosophy. And vice versa, as a scientist, you should have a philosophical understanding of what you can say and what you can't say, what's inconsistent with sort of just rational thought.
Right. Now, in this video that you created, you lay out the reason you lay out saying the universe has order. Can you give us some examples of this order that maybe we just take for granted?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you often take for granted, we've all stared at this thing when we were in high school at some point, the periodic table, right? And so, but we never, very few people ask the question, why are there only 90 some stable elements? Now, there's more elements that you can make that are very, very unstable, but in a sense, there's like 90 some stable elements. And why is that? Well, there's only 90 some elements because those are the only things that are stable based upon the forces, the size of the subatomic particles, the electrons, the neutrons, and the protons, and based on the nature of the subatomic forces. So the order in the forces and the subatomic particles dictates that only these elements can actually exist and are stable. And then when you have only those elements, they will combine in certain ways, where certain ones are more abundant, and that gives you certain proteins, which then combine in certain ways that give you certain ways that cells can behave. So it's almost like at each level, the way the order is at that level. Why are there these ordered 90 ordered elements? Well, it can be answered by looking at the order at the level below that. But the interesting thing is, you reach a point where science runs out. You can't go down to a lower level. You're looking at sort of the order at the foundational level of the universe. So you say, okay, well, gravity just is. That's the force of gravity. The strong nuclear force that helps hold nuclei. That's the force. You can't explain it based on something else. And that leads you to the question, well, why do we exist in a universe that has the forces structured in such a way that you can get stable elements, which means you can get stable molecules, which means you can get things that can evolve, And so, without that order down at that fundamental level, evolution doesn't get off the ground. It's a gift to evolution. Evolution doesn't make it, doesn't discover it. It just is there in the universe. Science does a wonderful, wonderful job of describing that order and measuring it and so. But science can't explain the sort of the fundamental question, sort of the metaphysical question of why. Why do we have an ordered universe? Why is this the universe we find ourselves in?
Now, in addition to this video, there is a paper that goes along with it that's available for download. And in there, you discuss Thomas Aquinas' work in the Summa about how the contingency theory. Can you explain that? And maybe it'll kind of help tack on to what you just stated a little bit ago.
Yeah, so a lot of times when people talk about evolution, they'll talk about the chance events in evolution. So they'll say, if this meteor didn't hit the Yucatan Peninsula 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs would have never gone extinct. And then mammals would have never arisen, mammals would have never taken off, and you would have never had humans. So the only reason we're here is because of this chance meteor that hit. So clearly there's no purpose, to us. We're just here by chance. There's a couple things about that argument that are wrong, but the more foundational problem with that argument is the idea that chance, and this is where Aquinas comes in, chance doesn't preclude order and purpose. So, or that things that happen by chance doesn't mean that they're outside God's providence. So, Aquinas talks about, things that God deems to happen by law happen by law, things that happen by chance happen by chance. That God, as the primary cause, allows and sustains every other cause in the universe, whether it's a meteor hitting the earth, whether it's you talking to me right now, all of these things are part and parcel of his order, that he allows all of us to exist as causes. And so just because we can explain something by science doesn't mean that God has no role in that. God is the reason science exists and science works, right? So, it's not like we have to find something, oh, science can't explain this. Well, therefore, God must have done it. No, it's that, well, science can explain this. That's amazing. So this is how God has set it up and allowed it to work. Science reveals to us the secondary causes that God allows to operate in the world.
Right. So for those out there who think it's either faith or science, it's actually both. Right.
Exactly. The two go hand in hand. And one of the more sort of ironic things is, even those that discount faith and say, no, I just believe in science, and I'm only going to take what science tells me. They have faith. They have faith. They take things on faith. So you ask them, well, why should you trust science? Right? Why? Why should you believe that the experiments that you do actually correspond to the real world? Why isn't it just maybe your brain is just playing tricks on you, or you know? So you have to have make a you call it a leap of faith, but you have to have faith that science. Most scientists have faith that in a realistic view of the world, that what we see out there corresponds to reality and that we measure corresponds to reality. But there's no scientific experiment to demonstrate that. So scientists have faith, whether they want to admit it or not. They might have, it takes a certain level of faith with a small f to do science.
No, I know this is touching on another work that you're doing, but how does evolution fit in with Catholic teaching? How do the two reconcile?
Yeah, no, this is one of the biggest questions that I get from faithful Catholics. Well, how do these fit together? And I think Pope Benedict, the things that he's written on this subject, I think are the best. And I love what he says is that creation and evolution are two not mutually exclusive, but they are complementary realities. Because they ask slightly different questions, like the creation story in Genesis, the creation stories, what the question they're trying to answer is, what are human beings? What are we? We're made in the image and likeness of God. What is creation? Well, creation is a contingent entity that's dependent upon God. So it's talking about that. It's not answering the question of how did the human body come to be, right? And that's what evolution can explain. Evolution can explain how frogs came to be, how the material process by which the human form body came to be. But it's not going to answer evolution. It's the science of evolution is not going to explain the purpose of human beings, right? And the purpose of human beings is what you turn to theology and what Genesis describes. The purpose of human beings is to know and love God, and the purpose of creation is to know and love God, to bring us to worship, and that's something that's sort of written into that Genesis story and the way it's structured.
Okay, so in a way, well, I guess what you're saying is it's a way of answering the question of how man came to be. It's not answering why man is here, so to speak. But what do you say to those people that say, and I know you touched on it earlier, so I apologize, that evolution just means it's totally random, there's no purpose, because by what I've read on that paper and the video, it's totally not the case.
Yes. Right. And I think one of the problems with people's understandings of evolution is that they don't appreciate the order that's there, right? And that evolution, one, only works because of the order that's inherent in creation. And without a source of that order, God providing that order, evolution doesn't work. The other thing that I find even more fascinating is that order, not only does it allow evolution to work, but it tends to drive evolution in certain directions. That evolution isn't just this sort of random free fall and who knows what's going to happen tomorrow and so forth. But given the way the universe is structured, there's certain things that are going to work, right? There are certain things that aren't going to work. Just a trivial example, you can't get flying elephants. They can't evolve. Physically, the physics are impossible. So there's certain things that can't evolve, and there's certain things that can't. So it's not as if anything goes. And the interesting thing you see with evolution is you see a lot of structures evolve multiple times independently, what's called convergence, right? So say the human eye, the with the lens that can focus light, that's evolved 7 different times at least independently throughout evolution. You see it in humans, you see it in certain cephalopods like squid, you see it in snails, certain snails will have that. But that suggests that this order in evolution, this order that evolution is running on, is going to push it in certain directions. That if you reran evolution again, you would get very, very similar outcome. Not because, there would certainly be chance things and the timing might be off, but there's certain things that just work. Bilateral symmetry is a very nice way to get around in the world, to have, this bilateral symmetry. And it's something that would probably evolve again. The ability to sense light would certainly evolve again because it's a great way to absorb energy, and it's a great way to figure out how to navigate in space. And if you reran evolution again, light's going to be light, and you'll have the same sort of benefit from it. The order seems to imply that evolution might have a direction and a purpose and an ultimate outcome, So which again, it doesn't prove that, because that's not a scientific conclusion, but it's consistent with that idea. And so you can take the sort of the evidence of that you see or the of convergence and speculate on that sort of philosophically. What does that mean then? What does it mean that you have that convergence?
Right, so what would be the difference between evolution and, say, adaptation? Because I know that's a common distinction I hear a lot, at least in Facebook message boards on the subject.
Yeah. So a lot of people, and they make the distinction between micro and macro evolution, and they use those terms instead of adaptation being microevolution. Well, the species just sort of adapts a little bit, coat color changes from brown to dark brown, and so forth, versus sort of macroevolution, where you have one species transforming over time into another species, or you have the emergence of a feather from a scale or something larger like that. But from a scientific perspective, the idea is that they're really, in terms of the processes, and we're still sort of understanding scientifically all the processes that are involved in shaping evolution, but the processes aren't so much different between the two. It just one is more robust and takes longer periods of time and might involve sort of greater amount of change, but they, in a sense, are one and the same, and they're just two ends of the continuum. The things that we call sort of adaptations are evolution on a short term versus, the origin of something like a limb is evolution on in the long term, the macro evolution.
Okay. Very interesting. Thanks for clarifying that, because I hear that all the time, and I'm like, what's the difference? So since I'm take the opportunity since you're on to ask that. So in regards to the video campaign, so the video campaign launched a couple weeks ago. What type of feedback have you received back from it?
Yeah, no, I've received a mixed amount of feedback. A lot of people love it. This is great. It's good to see a different perspective, because a lot of people, all they hear, is this idea that sort of the Richard Dawkins view of evolution. If you're familiar with him, who's an atheist, uses evolution to show that there's no God in a sense, and so it's nice to see, oh, now there's an order and there's a different way of looking at evolution, and then philosophically, understanding it and incorporating it. At that time, there's also people that look at this and say, well, how can you say that evolution shows that God exists, and so forth, or evolution, if evolution can't be used to show God doesn't exist, how do you use it to show God does exist, these type of things. And so it's sort of clarifying, the purpose of it is to show at least the science is consistent with the idea of a purposeful universe and the idea that there is a God and that there is a direction. It doesn't prove that scientifically, but the evidence can be used to build philosophical arguments. The whole point is that whether God exists or not is not a scientific question, right? It's a factual question. Either exists or it doesn't. That's a fact. It's one of those two is possible, but it's not a scientific question, right? There's not an experiment I can do to distinguish that. But what we see and what the world, what we see through science and view of his creation, that data, that is useful for us to think philosophically. What does that mean then? To step back, what does it mean that there's order in the universe? What does it mean that that order influences evolution? What does that mean? And you can think now philosophically about that and make arguments and cases of for God's existence. But again, it's trying to see the right interaction between philosophy, science, and theology. And a lot of people just say, well, there is no science in theology. That doesn't give you anything useful. Everything's answered in science. And just that statement is a philosophical statement. And so you can't make that statement without doing philosophy, even though people like Dawkins will argue philosophy is bunk. Well, you're doing it.
You're doing it by saying
Exactly.
So where can everyone go to check out this video? And again, it's called The Purposeful Universe.
Yeah, so if you go to purposefuluniverse.magiscenter.com, that's where the link for the video is. If you just go to YouTube and search Purposeful Universe, I think it would come up as well. And you can also go to the magiscenter.com website directly and go through a link there. There's other great things on there, not directly related to evolution, but related to all kinds of science and faith issues and other issues that people often sort of struggle with about, how do I reconcile the historical Jesus with the data that's out there, So, Father Spitzer's and the Magic Center created a lot of great content on there beyond the Purposeful Universe stuff.
Yeah, the video is really well produced and it's not very long, and you delve deeper into everything with the podcast and the accompanying paper. Where can they access those as well?
Yeah, that's both at that website, the purposefuluniverse.magiscenter.com. If you go, that's the site for the Purposeful Universe, and that's where the 8 minute, there's a 1 minute video, then there's an 8 minute video, it's a little bit longer, and that's then there's a podcast, and then there's the paper that they can download if they're interested in sort of more of the details that we were talking about there.
Great. Well, Dr. Keebler, I thank you for coming on and going over some of these questions, and thanks for making that video. I showed it to my kids. My son's in middle school, and he was blown away by it. He watched it a few times, and actually, he sent it on to a science teacher too. So,
Oh, they did a great job producing it. I was amazed at how well they put it together. So, yeah.
oh, they really did. And thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, William. It's been great. My
All
pleasure.
right. All right. God bless.
God bless. Take care.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www. www.holo.app/breadbox.